Welcome back, everyone, to Squawk 1200. I'm Zach.
I'm Wireless Mike.
And we are joined now by Drew McQueen, the NATCA Great Lakes Regional Vice President, and Dan Carrico, Controller at O'Hare and an Air Safety Investigator for NATCA. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Dan, you're a controller here. You've been at the show for a while. Give our guests an idea of what it's like. We all see that world's busiest control tower sign up on the tower, but we know there's so much more to it. What's it like to be a pink shirt here at Oshkosh?
Coming from the pink shirt experience, it's a wonderful experience. It's there's only 64 air traffic controllers up here working in the pink shirt, and to get selected out of that, it's a very prestigious item.
What do controllers have to do to apply to come up here?
So we have four different levels of controllers: rookies, who are the first year ever coming up to Oshkosh. Then we've got limiteds, which are between 2 and 3 years of coming up. Then our veterans are 3 years and more, and our team leads are the more experienced veterans who oversee the team of four that we normally work with.
How do you rotate between the different positions? So I know there's the visual control centers at FISC, and there's the tower positions and everything else. How do you decide on those assignments?
So when it all comes out, they bid their schedule and get on a team, and then the team's put together, and then they rotate through all of the moo cows that are out there by the runways. They actually go down to Fond du Lac. They have a crew down there as a reliever airport for us up here at Oshkosh. Then they also, they have the FISC out there, the FISC approach. So we'll rotate. We'll train on all of the positions, and we'll rotate through throughout the week.
As you have been doing this longer and longer, you've been a veteran now, a team leader, you train new people. When people are here for their first time, even people who've got a lot of experience in ATC generally, what do you see from them as they try and adapt to this environment? What's it like to try and learn this very unique challenge?
It is a huge learning curve compared to what we normally do out in the FAA and at our home facilities. We have a lot of special rules here due to the volume and the complexity of what we do here. So it is wide-opened eyes is a good experience there, a good term.
So how much of a study time do they have to put in to learn these operations?
So probably about 3 or 4 months before we even come up here, they'll send out our standard operating procedures manual with all the changes for the current year. So we kind of take time at our home facilities to overview that. Then, believe it or not, we take one day of training and take a test and get our Oshkosh CTO for the year.
Outstanding. Drew, I want to ask you a little bit about some of the knock-on effects from Oshkosh. And this is such a massive event. It affects not just Oshkosh, obviously, but all the facilities surrounding us in Wisconsin and even further out going through Illinois, Minnesota, everywhere really in the national airspace system. What is that like at a national level, trying to coordinate all the changes that come about with this air show?
You know, I think it affects everybody. It affects them differently. I know the people that during this time, we usually have vacation time, but most of those facilities don't get vacation time during this time because they need to be staffed to handle this sheer amount of volume. I know the controllers at Milwaukee do a marvelous job handling all the volume. I mean, they are just completely just swamped from start to finish. And it just pushes back from there. You know, it affects from Chicago Center, Minneapolis Center, and all the surrounding little airports that just feed this in. People just think that people just come here and fly and just show up, and it's not. It's a really coordinated effort between everybody, with around several states to make this all work. So it's quite a feat.
So also, there's a lot of special procedures for pilots coming in here,
yeah.
And some pilots do a better job at following those procedures than others because they're so completely different. What are some things that you have seen that you can give some advice to new pilots coming in here? Don't make the same mistakes some of the other people have made.
So I would first of all say get a copy of the NOTAM and be very familiar with the NOTAM. That has all of the special procedures and inbounds, outbounds that you're going to need to know. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask somebody that's been in here. EAA has a great outreach program where you can get in touch with those folks and ask the questions. Just get the NOTAM. That's the most important thing.
Okay, simple question. Where can they get the NOTAM if they haven't already gotten it?
I'll be honest with you. I believe you can get it online electronically these days. I don't know the website address.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Drew McQueen. He's the Great Lakes Regional Vice President for National Air Traffic Controllers Association, and Dan Carrico. He's a controller at O'Hare, an air safety investigator, and a controller here at the Oshkosh Show. One of the things that I think is really interesting is the sorts of procedures that are put in that don't exist anywhere else or at any other time. So you mentioned the MUCAOs. Where you're doing, you're looking up visually at the airplane with binoculars, they're rocking their wings. What is that like? What's the team structure? Who's doing what to make that all work for you when you're out there?
So we always work in a team of four. Like I say, you've got the team lead, the veteran, a limited, and a rookie typically. And we're always training those folks even out on the field. Though we get one day a classroom, it's a continuing training process. So when we're out there, we're a team of four. It's very unique to this airport. We don't do that in our own airports. But what's even more unique, when you talk about a runway environment, at our home airports, there's one person working that airplane, that runway. Airplanes in, airplanes out. Here at Oshkosh, there's actually two teams working that. One in the tower cab, a team of four, and then the team of four out on the runway. The team of four out on the runway, the pink or the wands and the pink shirts, they're clearing airplanes for departure or takeoff. And the unique part about that is now the tower is landing those airplanes when they're coming in. So there's two separate frequencies for that runway, which is completely unique to Oshkosh.
And who oversees all of that to make sure that everybody's working together in the tower and on the ground?
It is a complete team effort. So if somebody on the ground sees something, they'll talk to the tower. If the tower sees something, they'll talk to us at the MUCAOs.
So you have separate radio communications outside of the ones that the pilots are using?
Yes, we have FM radios and direct line communications between the two.
This is probably the first opportunity for some controllers to see this kind of an aircraft mix. You know, working at O'Hare, you're normally seeing commercial traffic for the most part, cargo, maybe private jets, things like that. Working at a small airport, maybe you see more GA, military. But here, you get absolutely everything, all the way down to, you know, Ford Tri-Motors and all the way up to F-22s. What's that adjustment like in terms of getting used to that kind of performance difference, the way those pilots react differently, everything like that?
That too is an eye-opener at some point in time also. You know, we take our experience from our home airports and try to apply it here. Sometimes it works, and sometimes we say go around.
The all-important phrase available. Does it take a lot of time to get used to? I'll get a little specific with you. The dots, we know that dot system on the runway, land on the pink dot, land on the green dot, that kind of thing. How much time does it take to get really comfortable with that, where you're confident in the instructions you're giving to an aircraft?
So that does take a little bit to getting used to. But I'll tell you a secret. When we're training, we know all the dots and the colors and things like that. But in the tower cab on the windows, they actually have the dots.
Ah.
So we know the colors that we're landing on.
And how do you see pilots adjusting to that? Because it's a different operation for them, too. Or do pilots generally do pretty good landing in that configuration?
Absolutely. You know, the pilots out there, I think some are brand new and coming in for the first time. They're a little nervous. Don't be nervous. There's a lot of people watching and there to help you. But all in all, everybody does a great job.
And then, Drew, what kind of outreach work does NACA do for this project? So this is, like you said, a team effort, but not just the team of controllers. It's the controllers and the pilots. How does NACA work with the FAA, with pilot groups, EAA, to make sure this goes off as smoothly as it does?
Well, we have a very good outreach program. We have a great NACA staff headed up by Kelly Richardson and Jim Ullman. We have a NACA booth, and that's really our main focus is pilot outreach. I think there's a lot of sentiment or stereotypical thoughts about controllers and pilots, and we try to bring them in and try to talk to them about that to ease their minds and answer questions. Right, we're not the big bad scary people behind the mics. We're actually human beings that, you know, that do the job day in day out, and we're here to help. So I think that, you know, we're constantly trying to improve the process. We're constantly trying to bring people in to ensure them that, you know, that what they're doing is fine. We're working with the FAA, EAA, and again, we have briefings going on throughout the day, all week here. For anybody that wants to ask a question, they can stop by the booth and ask us. But it's constantly an education piece for us, so it is.
So in addition to people coming in and all sorts of different operations coming in, yeah, there's also special issues with everybody leaving at once.
Right.
What kind of problems have you seen with that pilots should be aware of so they can not make those kinds of mistakes?
So again, I go back and say, follow the NOTAM. The NOTAM is one of the most tried and true things of Oshkosh, and it really does work if people follow it. One of the things we'll see on departure is folks will start climbing too early. That's going to get mixed up with the arrivals. If we're departing 2-7, folks are taking off and turning left and taking off directly the way they came up the railroad tracks. There are still arrivals that are coming in over the railroad tracks still to come in for their last little bit of air venture. So be very careful. Keep your eyes on the swivel, the head on the swivel out there, boys. And I would say just follow the NOTAM.
And are all of the airspace issues with people departing local issues, or do those also affect other facilities in the area?
Well, I think look, it affects, you know, it's naive to say that it just affects here. You know, if something affects here, then it branches out and affects there and affects there and affects there. If you stick to the gnome, like Dan saying, it should all work pretty smooth. But again, if you've got questions, ask questions and whatever else. But I think that, like Dan says, just follow the NOTAMs and everything will be fine. Once you start doing your own thing, that's going to branch out and could cause problems down the line.
We've got about 30 seconds left. Dan, I think a lot of people come here to relax and enjoy the show. For you, as much as I'm sure you enjoy doing this work, this is pretty intense. How do you unwind after an Oshkosh show?
You know, one of the things that I like to do is just walk around and talk with the folks out on the field. So if you see a pink shirt out there, they'll be happy to answer any questions and talk with you.
Fantastic. Dan Carrico and Drew McQueen of NATCA Controllers out here at Oshkosh, thank you both so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Stay tuned, folks. On the Fly is going to be right between Air Ops and the Boeing Plaza. They'll be taking over for us next. You've been listening to Squawk 1200 on AM 1210, FM 96.5, and EAARadio.net.